welcome to From the Frontline. Today in the studio, myself and my dad, Dr. Peter Hammond, will be dealing with quite a powerful topic, weaponizing words and the power of the media, and how quickly even people my age will very quickly jump on the bandwagon. They'll very quickly agree with whatever the media says, thinking it's a neutral standpoint. Is this the reality?
No, actually, some terminology can be toxic. Some words can be weaponized. We're in a world war of worldviews, and ideas have consequences. Words have consequences. In fact, terminology is never neutral. The reason why people use a term is often for good reason. For example, you will hear people say something like, I'm pro-choice. Oh, gee, that sounds good. Pro-choice? But are these pro-choices really pro-choice? Pro-choice is a lie. Babies don't choose to die. And are pro-choices pro-choice when it comes to education? Liberal leftists normally reject the rights of those who want to choose home-based education or parental-controlled Bible-based education. So they're not pro-choice when it comes to education. And most pro-choicers tend to vigorously oppose any conscientious objects amongst medical staff who may say, it's against my conscience to take part in the ending of an innocent life. I'm here to heal, not to take life. I'm here as a medical practitioner. I'm not here as an executioner.
And under the Hippocratic Oath.
Yes, to do no harm to a patient. And so and to give no bortifacient to a pregnant woman. I mean, this is part of the Hippocratic Oath for thousands of years. So pro-choicers don't want choice when it comes to medical staff who prefer not to use the healing skills to participate in the taking of an innocent life through abortion. And many who proclaim themselves pro-choice, have you noticed? They say, my body, my choice. But they don't believe in choice when it comes to mandatory wearing of masks or whether you want a mandatory vaccine.
Or even just on that topic of all that statement of my body, my choice. As a pregnant woman, if you say this, this means that you have two heads, two hearts, four eyes, four legs, etc., etc.
And maybe two genders.
Yeah, well, nowadays...
Yes.
Gender fluidity, you know, we need to be. Anyway, moving on. The whole standard of how, why do people so quickly agree with the media? Why do people so quickly say, oh, that's what the media says, so that's the reality, that's what's correct?
Well, it looks larger than life. And I mean, there's big billboards and there's TV screens and these people are really well polished and they're normally very glamorous and well made up. And, you know, the camera does lie, actually. And I know because I've been the other side of it too and been through the makeup rooms just to go for a TV interview. And really and truly, many people assume that what they're getting in the media is, without fear or favor, all the news that's fit to print and all this. And many assume that it is news, whereas if you've just watched CNN, Clinton News Network, or the Bolshevik Broadcasting Corporation, or the Sly Magazine or Newspeak, you may get a shock if you watch suddenly Fox News and heard Tucker Carlson on the same subject. Wait, I never heard about that before, because some media are only giving one side of a story.
Well, even just the reality, you mentioned CNN. These were two posts that they had within the same week. The first one, hundreds of people gathered and marched on Saturday in Portland, Oregon, marking the 66th night of Black Lives Matter protests in the city, according to the Portland Police Bureau. A week later, another report that they had, a large crowd of far-right groups gathered for a sit-in, quote-unquote, at Berlin's iconic Brandenburg Gates to protest against the German government's coronavirus restrictions. The march included anti-vaccine groups and some far-right and neo-Nazi organizations. And the photo for the initial one for the Black Lives Matter is taken from a lower angle and it shows maybe six people in the photo. The other picture of the protests in Germany is a full drone shot where you can see thousands of people along the road. This is a reality that people do not understand, that with media, it is all about what the click is. So what the cover screen is, what the thumbnail is, what the caption is, and how lightly they can put it. Like peaceful protesters standing up for what they believe in Portland. Meanwhile, the reality, they're burning down buildings, shooting at policemen, etc., etc. And you would think, what? Like, this doesn't seem the same as what the topic is or what the photo is.
The picture chosen is very relevant. So, for example, on this demonstration against the lockdown regulations in Berlin, I've seen the pictures. well over a million people filling the Unter den Linden, the main road leading through Berlin to the Brandenburg Gate. And there's no doubt, it's colossal. It could easily be a million, could be more. I mean, just one picture, and I've seen dozens of them from different angles, and it's just no question. And then you get a news report in CNN talking about a few hundred far-right extremists. Well, they couldn't exactly say a million extremists, because how do you get, how can it be a fringe if there's a million in one city protesting against it? So this is the way it often works, is the picture chosen and the way you describe, because also when you speak about mostly peaceful protests, really, you know, you could think about the mostly peaceful orcs in Lord of the Rings, that kind of talk. The terminology used is very clear, because when do you hear about far left-wing extremists, radical, revolutionary, Marxist, leftist? But they will make it out like Antifa and BLM are protesters, but they'll make out that some peaceful protesters are some extremist radicals. Again, the terminology is so prejudicial. It's poisoning the well.
Hmm. Is there a double standard, you think, in the popular narrative?
There certainly is a double standard. So just think of the double speak that you get out there, using 1904 terms. Marxists call their violent riots protests. They label the murder of babies choice. They call perversion an alternative lifestyle. They call their hate speech politically correct speech. They call their racism diversity. They call their intolerance, tolerance. They call their violence, peace. They call their looting of flat-screen TVs a protest. They call your free speech is labeled hate speech and a thought crime. And you know where all this comes from? When you read 1984, the novel by George Orwell, 1984 was written in 1948, he just inverted it as a futuristic warning. He warned of the coming newspeak, when words are hijacked to further the totalitarian agenda of the revolutionary state. And these are the slogans. War is peace. Ignorance is knowledge. Slavery is freedom. Now, you may think, what? Well, let's double think. Double think is part of newspeak. And so the Ministry of Peace organizes the wars. The Ministry of Love engages in torture. The Ministry of Truth distorts all media and rewrites history and deals in lies. And the Ministry of Plenty organizes the rationing, the shortages, and ensures constant starvation. And those who question the newspeak of Big Brother are guilty of thought crimes, which are punished by thought police. And enemies of the revolutionary state will be vaporized, become unpersons, and disappear down the memory hole. Now, how did George Orwell see all this coming? Well, he was a policeman, and then he was a propagandist in the BBC, and then he was involved in the propaganda department in Britain during the Second World War. And he was a communist who visited the Soviet Union, and so he saw what communism really was. And so he first wrote Animal Farm, and then he wrote 1984 as warning. And these are based on actual, real, this is what happened. So, for example, in the French Revolution, the Reign of Terror was run by the Committee for Public Safety, run by Robespierre. Do you know what KGB stands for? A Russian friend of mine said KGB in the Russian is the acronym for the Department of Homeland Security. KGB, the most terrifying acronym in the world for the worst secret police movement in history. The Department for Homeland Security. Yeah, they've got these innocuous terms to conceal extremely evil things. And just like, it wasn't that we were napalming citizens, civilians, it was collateral damage. Or it wasn't that we were incinerating cities, it was saturation bombing or strategic bombing. Mm. And we didn't murder the person. The person was terminated with extreme prejudice. And they've got all kinds of nice terms, like, for example, it's not an abortion, it's a termination of pregnancy, TOP.
Mm. But now, moving on to the why. Why is this such a reality that in today you have such, and we can divide it completely between the far right, extreme, liberal movements and everything that falls under it. Why are they putting in such an effort, particularly this year, to be such thought police and to be shoving their views, their thoughts, their wants down people's throats, particularly conservatives?
Well, first of all, you need to remember 2020 is in America an election year. And as Tucker Carlson has said, everything that happens in America in an election year is about the election. And as Disraeli and also Abraham Lincoln said, nothing happens in politics unless it was planned to be. And this was put even stronger by FDR. Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, in politics, nothing happened by accident. Everything that happens in politics, you can be sure, was planned that way. And so what you have seen is, how did the year begin? Attempts to impeach Donald Trump failed. Then you had the Wuhan, China virus, which came upon the world, and that was followed by a phenomenal hysterical overreaction. All the models, remember the models? Hundreds of millions of people are going to die. I mean, remember, the predictions were off the charts. All the wild predictions have been proven to be light years from reality, grossly overrated, and so on. And the lockdown still didn't seem to do it. They killed a lot of the economy and so on, and killed a lot of people's jobs. But then next thing is the riots, the Black Lives Matter riots. And so what you've seen is a whole lot of things that are designed to either discredit the current presidency, because remember, one of the key things that goes on in any election in America in particular is that if the economy is going well and if people are happy in their daily lives, the incumbent wins. And if the economy is bad and if a lot of people are out of work, then the incumbent party or candidate loses. I mean, that's just fact, history. That's politics 101 over there. So what you are seeing is an absolute desperate attempt to derail the Trump presidency and to bring in the Democratic candidate, whoever that might be. I don't even think they're sure right now. They don't really have a candidate. They don't even have a policy. I think the main policy of the Democrats in America right now is get rid of Trump. It doesn't matter how, it doesn't matter who, it doesn't matter what, but the main thing is they're basically asking for a vote against Trump. They don't have much to vote for, but they all are focused on voting against. And so it would seem bizarre that people would want to disrupt the lives of hundreds of millions of people and destroy the livelihoods of hundreds of millions of people for political gain. But unfortunately, this is the way it goes. You get a lot of examples in history where governments are willing to go to war simply to stay in power, to distract from political problems at home. We could give a lot of examples of that. I think this is what is basically behind all this. It's political.
And even on these political realities, I think one thing that people aren't looking at is the things that are covered. So, for example, the amount of protests, riots, violence that is happening in America are run by, in the certain states and cities. Who runs those states and cities? The Democrats, not the Republicans.
In some cases, like Chicago, there's not a single Republican on the entire city board. Everyone there is a Democrat. From the police, the governor, the mayor, the entire state, it's run by Democrats.
But it's Trump's fault. Who's only been in office for 4 years.
Less.
Prior to him, Joe Biden has been within the government's office.
He is the vice president for 8 years.
He's been in there for close to, what is it now?
Well,
at least 40-something years,
I think. Had 8 years as vice president, and he's had 40-odd years in the Congress.
And yet this is all Trump's fault.
Yes.
And this is something that is pushed hard in the media. And again, going back to even people my age, kids who were born in the 90s and in the 2000s, how quickly they are swallowing this pill and following that narrative. Why is this so dangerous?
Well, it is dangerous because just take, for example, how Donald Trump was super popular with all the Hollywood bunch and with the and so on until he started to run for president. When he was just a businessman, wow, what a great guy, tremendous, what a humanitarian, look what he's done for women, what a generous person, what a capable person, look how he takes a dump and he turns into the ideal, how he solves the problems in New York City, look how he's done inner city ghetto upliftment and phenomenal. And so all the people who hate him now, like the Clintons and the Obamas, they actually liked him before he became a candidate against the Democratic movement. So the issue isn't Donald Trump. The issue is the policies. And the fact is his policies are free enterprise and get out of the foreign wars and no, let's not go to war with Russia and things like this. They hate what he stands for, not to mention pro-life and let's put Christianity back into the schools and back into government and bring Christmas back into the narrative. And so, and he, of course, there's so many politically incorrect things like speaking about the China virus. Why do you call it the China virus? Because it comes from China. And So he does so many things that are just so outrageous to the politically correct. They hate him for what he stands for. And that's why more than half of American voters voted for him, because they're like, at last, someone who's going to speak up for us.
Mm, and someone who's actually going to follow through with what he said. There was no stunts with him. He said, if you elect me, this is what I'm going to do.
Yes.
And what did he do? He did it.
Yes. And in fact, it's the first time people have rioted and protested because a politician did what he had promised to do.
And even just fast forward, or even rewinding and then fast forwarding, first thing he said, we're going to build a wall. Oh, what a racist thing to say. What a racist thing to do. How dare you do that? When the protest started and Chaz was created, or Kaz or whatever, what was the first thing that they did?
Build a wall.
They built a wall. They required ID. They required passes. They used guns.
To patrol and protect.
If you can't understand that this is purely a political stunt, like you put it earlier, like Tucker Carlson put it earlier, nothing that's been happening this year was by accident. The virus, engineered. The riots, engineered. This whole BLM movement, engineered. But the reality that is being put in front of it and covered via the media, via social media stars. I mean, you notice a lot of social media stars who are singers, rappers, actors, movie stars, whatever, who don't really have much of a political view. Suddenly, they are pushing Black Lives Matter. Suddenly, they are against Trump. This is all engineered and this is all planned. And no one realizes it.
And there's a lot of money behind it because these protesters aren't doing it for free.
Mm.
Many of these protesters are actually paid.
Rent a crowd.
Rent a crowd, bust in, literally bust in from other states even.
And we have a lot of that here in South Africa.
Well, we know how that works too. You get them rented, and rent a mob, rent a crowd, rent a riot, all that sort of thing. And they're getting paid. And you've got a hideous capitalist, communist, George Soros, who pours hundreds of millions and billions into political events like this. And he's quite unashamed about this, that, you know, he's funding them. And so he funds groups like BLM and Antifa. And when he's been asked on TV, you know, why he does this, he says, well, there's two sides to me. There's the commercial side where it's just about getting money and it doesn't matter about issues. But then there's also things where I am concerned for causes. But he says, basically, when you get down to it, it's what's good for my business.
Mm.
And he says, I've got things to sell and whatever will advance my business. And then he puts billions of dollars into political rabble-rousing groups like Antifa and BLM. For what purpose? Well, obviously, he's one of the people who wants the New World Order. And of course, you get the Bill Gateses of this world who are trying to sell mandatory vaccines, which get billions of dollars. And when you look at the agenda of the Faucis and the Bill Gateses and so on, what do they want? Population control, population reduction. They'd like to bring the world's population down to under a billion. In fact, some of them are talking about under 100 million. Well, we've got 7 billion people now. Do you trust people who are eugenicists who want to bring the world population way down, way down? Do you trust them when they say, let's give you a mandatory vaccine? It's for your health.
Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like what I was saying earlier. This is what people don't hear. This is what people don't think. We are so bubble-brained and bubble-focused on whatever the media says, that's the reality. Whatever my friends say and feel, that's the reality. And particularly in South Africa, prior to lockdown and even during lockdown, we didn't really think much about America. And when the George Floyd incident happened and with all the protests that were happening there, we were saying, oh, look at the racism and the issues that are happening in America. Wait a minute. You live in South Africa. The amount of those situations that happen in South Africa on the daily, in your own neighborhood, and yet you're not going to say anything about that. But as soon as it is a hype train overseas in America on social media, they hop on it.
That is
how quickly people are blinded and followed like sheep in this country.
Truth does not fear investigation. And so whenever you find that you're not allowed to think or introduce facts or do research or say, for example, a person may come up with climate change, say, okay, well, what's the science? What's the facts? What's the statistics?
And how dare you even question me?
Exactly. And
thought police, George
Orwell. Facts can really ruin a good narrative. And when people have to make laws forbidding you to investigate things, well, truth doesn't fear investigation. So if they've got laws preventing you from being able to even question something, then they're hiding something. And, well, when it comes to choice. So just take Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is not true to their own slogan. They don't think that Black Lives Matter in Sudan or the Congo or Nigeria or Zimbabwe or Chicago gang violence, for that matter. They don't even believe Black Lives Matter in the womb. More than half of all black babies conceived in America are killed by abortion before they're born. So if George Floyd had been killed by abortion before he was born, most of these liberal lefts who are out there for BLM would be cheering, applauding, and happy for some of the tax money to go to fund the abortion. So black lives generally don't matter. Or should we say most black lives do not matter to BLM.
And this was even something that Don Lemon, the CNN news reporter, he said exactly this. He said, for Black Lives Matter, we can't focus on all people of color in America. We can't focus on all African Americans. If you're having a liberal news reporter saying that freely,
wow,
how is that not evidence enough for you? And yet people overlook this.
Sure. I noticed a black American putting out this acronym saying BLM now stands for Burn, Loot and Murder. BLM, Burn, Loot and Murder.
True reality. But now how can we understand the underlying philosophies and worldviews behind many apparent innocent comments?
Yes. So, for example, just take, there are worldviews behind these, and the freedom to riot doesn't mean the freedom to protest. So those who normally support freedom to protest when it involves Black Lives Matter or Antifa, looting shops, burning buildings, throwing rocks, Molotov cocktails, petrol bombs at police, that's good. But when you get the hospitality industry, like restaurateurs and so on in Cape Town, trying to peacefully protest against unconstitutional lockdowns, which our High Court has found unconstitutional, they get hit with everything. Water cannon, tear gas, stun grenades and all this. You don't see the police reacting to looting, rioting, burning out of trucks, but they hit people who just business people. Who are trying to make a stand against draconian, unconstitutional lockdown regulations. So many of those who claim to be for freedom of speech, aren't they the same people who are opposing freedom of speech on college campuses or on social media when it comes to the pro-life, pro-family, pro-marriage, creation signs of those who are against unconstitutional lockdown regulations or any other politically correct position? So you will see very quickly that there's a hypocrisy here, and it's got a common denominator. It's not about any of these issues. It's always about the revolution.
The issue is never the issue.
No.
The issue is the revolution.
Always. So when you, whatever you're looking at here, the people who say science, but they don't care about science when science supports creation or intelligent design. They only care when it's a theory that you're not allowed to question or debate, which supports the revolutionary agenda. You know, blow up enough things and utopia will arrive because we're just a result of cosmic accident. And this kind of idea that if you can have the social Darwinism of burn down and blow up enough things, utopia will come out of it. So what we are seeing now is the people who say they're against racism, but they're promoting the most extreme racism. They want race politics, race quotas, race hatred, everything from sports teams all the way through business and so on. It's not about opposing racism. It's about promoting racism in name of opposing racism. Those who say they support free speech are trying to suffocate free speech. They say they support a hate speech bill, but they don't even attempt to deal with the genuine hate speech of Antifa, BLM, LGBTQ, communist revolutionaries, radical jihadists. But in the name of combating hate speech, most of these liberal left radicals, should I say revolutionaries, are seeking to suffocate the free speech of Christians who want to oppose or even question the politically correct radical socialist agenda. So what we're dealing with is we're dealing with such a fragile worldview in the left-wing Marxist revolutionary agenda that they have to criminalize and stigmatize and suffocate any question, any kind of intellectual discussion of their position because they don't have the confidence of their own position. Now, look, I have debated Islam and Christianity in mosques with Muslim imams. I have debated atheism in universities and evolution and creation in universities with atheists and evolutionists. I've debated with the head of the Abortion Rights Action Group openly, publicly, dealing with right to life and abortion. I've debated everything from gun rights versus those who want to confiscate guns from private citizens with gun owners of South Africa and the gun-free South Africa. I've debated them publicly, had no problem with it. So we have no problem debating with creation, all these issues, because I'm not afraid of investigation. I'm not afraid of debate. But when we try to get these characters to debate, they often don't want to because they seem so fragile in their beliefs. They don't think they can handle iron sharpening iron in the public marketplace of ideas. And so what I think we're dealing with is we're dealing with such a fragile worldview that the only way they can get their way through is by bullying, by intimidating, by censorship, and by forbidding anyone to talk. Just like, for example, you've got some bratty little kid. He wants something. That's not logical. You know, I want those sweets. And if mommy doesn't give it to me, I'm going to throw a temper tantrum right here on the floor in the middle of the supermarket and scream and so on. So she'll give me what I want just for peace because it's just too embarrassing in a public place. Now, these little brats have grown up and they've become Antifa, BLM and so on. And I want what I want when I want it. But why do you want it? They scream and rant and rave. They throw a temper tantrum. They burn, they loot, they smash. They make life miserable so that the adults will just quiet, let me give you whatever you want. But do you think that's going to quiet them down? Mm-mm. No, now they've learned this works. They're going to be even more bratty because, hey, the more damage I cause, the more furor I cause, and the more I intimidate people, and the more I accuse people. In Europe, I've heard people say, the average European would rather be raped or stabbed than called a racist. Now, how good is this for the intimidator to say, you know, all I've got to do is call a person the R word, call them a bigot or hate mongering or something like this, and they wilt and opposition disappears. So what you've got is a bunch of brats who learnt as brats with permissive weak parents that I can get away with anything if I scream, rant and rave and throw enough adjectives around, and then they will just give in to what I want. And I think that's what you're dealing with. Because if they had a real issue, if they had arguments, they'd use arguments and logic. But no, they can't handle logic and arguments. All it can do is temper tantrums or riots.
But now, why do... This is something that I've been saying the whole time, is how quickly people jump on the bandwagon and how quickly people will conform and believe and scream out what they've been told. Why is this such a reality? Why do we as conservative Christians feel that we are such a minority? And even before you answer that, there's one specific social media page. And this is something, so he's a very strong conservative, Trump supporting, pro-gun, anti-abortion, etc. And he posts about this. And one of his posts was, it took him 3 years to gain 1 million followers on his social media page. Once the Black Lives Matter movement started, he gained 600,000. So he got to 1.6 million in 3 months. And his statement was, a lot of people think that the conservatives are the minority and the conservatives are silent and the conservatives don't really exist anymore and they're all conforming to the left. So, and this isn't the reality. We are growing and we are growing. The only issue that we as conservatives have is that we are not loud enough.
You've hit the nail on the head. That's so true. Because just look at Brexit. The media in Britain was all, you have to stay in the EU. The government and the opposition parties in Britain were all, you have to stay in the EU. There wasn't one major political party in Britain or one major media outlet that wanted Brexit. They all wanted to stay in the EU, European Union. And yet the bulk of the people in Britain voted twice for Brexit, which was only won by social media. Same with the Trump revolution. The entire media establishment.
Hillary's going to win. Hillary's got the majority. Trump doesn't have a snowball's chance. 98%. Don't even put your vote towards Trump. It's going to be a wasted vote. What happened?
He doesn't have
a landslide.
Yes. In fact, our newspaper on the day of the election was Hillary wins. And there's this Hillary with a. On the day that Trump won, that was the front page of the Cape Times. And Hillary with her arms up, cheering, obviously, at one of her rallies. And they really thought she was going to win. So that's what came out the day that we heard that Trump had won. So Cape Times really got it wrong. But a lot of places got it wrong. But this just shows why suddenly, since 2016, the media has gone berserk on clamping down on social media, because it was only social media that Trump had available to him. And it was social media also for Brexit. So basically, this is why you see such censorship now, that thousands of posts get taken down.
And it even happened to you. And even before I go to that, just specifically with this coronavirus incident that we are in, can you name another time where there was a world so-called pandemic or disease that was political? If I said I don't like the flu, no one's going to bat an eyelid. If I said I don't like cancer, no one's going to bat an eyelid. I don't like corona. I think corona is a scam. You'll get shot, you'll get locked up. And for you specifically, you had your Facebook post deleted.
Yes. I was just taking a very professionally well-presented, tracking down the origin of the Wuhan virus.
And what did they say on the screen?
Fake news.
How can they determine whether this is fake news or not?
Well,
Facebook,
I don't know.
Facebook is a social media platform. You are not a scientific ethos.
They're not meant to be a censorship platform, they're not meant to be a publisher, they're meant to be a platform. And as a platform, they're meant to be neutral. Now, these same people, if someone tried to censor them, they'd be screaming censorship. But when they censor other people, it's not a problem. And so for the media to be involved in censorship is really bad. And so what Zuckerberg's been doing, he's employing tens of thousands of full-time censors going through and deleting posts. And I tried to post something that was completely irrational. Now, these are normally medical professionals, top-class specialists in virology, bacteriology, and so on, people with more degrees than most people have letters in their name. And then next thing you've got Facebook saying fake news, or the latest one is, this is an old article, sort of covered over, it was 6 months ago, but it's totally relevant. What difference does it make that these guys are literally going through, looking over your shoulder? This is worse than military censors that would, from the border, we'd have sometimes things on our letters with a cokey pen over it. This is much worse, much more intrusive. They've got tens of thousands of Facebook censors, YouTube censors. They delete people's accounts. Did you notice you had these frontline doctors, top class doctors? These are on the front line doing the work. They give a report on things. 17 million people view it. Even Donald Trump's son tweets this, and the whole thing gets taken down by YouTube because it's fake news. Fake news. These people are as professional and hands on the ground. But Dr. Fauci, who hasn't seen a patient in 24 years, he, in fact, as one person said, when did you last put a stethoscope on? And Dr. Fauci is not a practicing medical doctor, but some, and a World Health Organization head, isn't even trained in medicine.
And just this information alone should be enough to convince you that this is political, and only political. And this is something, so I'm studying sports science at the moment, and one thing that we are always told is to not go out of our scope of practice. So if I've been trained in, let's say, nutrition, and that is my field, that is what I focus on, and the person who I'm giving nutritional advice to asks me for training advice on how to run a marathon, or how to start CrossFit, or how to become a swimmer, that is out of my scope of practice. Me giving them advice on something that I don't know enough information about is detrimental to them. Yes. And this is the reality of the world today. People who, white Karens who are screaming about black racism, who the heck are you to go and talk about that? And you've seen it so many times in America where you have white people screaming at black policemen about Black Lives Matter. Do you not see the reality? Do you not understand? You are going out.
I don't think they can even see. They just step outside and look at themselves for a moment.
Yes. It is such a reality in the world today that people have a view on something that they don't know anything about. And I've only seen a few Hollywood stars, when people have asked them, like, what do you think of Trump, or what do you think of your political views? And they will say, I'm an actor. I'm not a politician. I don't have enough information to have a view on this. And that is a reality. The amount of people, particularly the Karens of today, and particularly the young kids of my age on Instagram, will immediately spit out their view on what they, oh, I hate Trump, and oh, racism this and apartheid that. Hello, were you there? Have you met him? Do you know anything about those realities? No, you don't. And that's just that. And yet if you say that to them, saying, no, I'm allowed to say what I want. You are allowed to say what you want, but that means I can also say what I want.
Ooh.
It goes both ways.
That's what a conversation debate's meant to be, two ways. So isn't it interesting how the only slavery that seems to matter the radical left today is the slavery that ended 2 centuries ago, thanks to Christian evangelicals like William Wilberforce and David Livingstone. But to oppose slavery today in Red China or Saudi Arabia, for example, is considered irrelevant.
Well, even the slavery that happens in cities with strippers. Oh.
Do you know that the BLM co-founder was arrested in 2016 for human trafficking? By the way, human trafficking is just a euphemism for slavery. And so isn't it funny that one of the co-founders of BLM was arrested for slavery in 2016? How many people know that there are 46 million people today engaged in slavery, that is enslaved? Human trafficking or slavery, which includes the sex trafficking trade, and we're not just talking about Cambodia and Thailand. This is all over the place, even in Cape Town, even in Nevada, even in the Netherlands. There is human trafficking today. But who's talking about the slavery today? They're all concerned about the slavery that ended 2 centuries ago. But meanwhile, oh, let's get our toys from Disney World that's all made in China by slave labor, by the way. And who needs to talk about the organ harvesting in China, where a person could go from anywhere in the world to China and say, I need a kidney, I need a liver, I need whatever, and no problem. We got these donors from a concentration camp, probably a Christian. They whip it out, they don't bother to sew up the poor donor who had no say in the matter because he's a disposable candidate. And they literally organ harvest and the people around the world who are not wanting to say anything about it. Now, how disgusting is that? Organ harvesting, slave labor, sex trafficking, human trafficking today. And it's not just one or two people. It's millions.
And well, I'll tell you why they won't speak about it. It's not the hype. It's not in fashion. So specifically in South Africa, in Cape Town, on Instagram. First, it was George Floyd. Then it was Black Lives Matter. Now it's gender-based violence. And then I feel like the next one is probably going to be something about white supremacy.
Oh, and that's always a favorite.
And all of them, when they started with George Floyd, they said, we are not going to stop talking about this until everything about it is solved. And then it moves on to Black Lives Matter. We're not going to stop talking about Black Lives Matter until... And then they went into gender-based violence. Whatever the hype, it is a hype train. It's a modern term. Whatever is the fashion, whatever is trending, whatever is woke, that is what they hop on.
Well, we've got to get disturbed about that because, first of all, it should bother you, the fact that you can control or change an international narrative so quickly. Take, for example, the fact that 2 billion people in the world were watching the marriage of Princess Diana, for example, and then 3 billion people were watching the World Cup soccer. That's phenomenal to think that you can have half the world's population focused on one thing at one time, on one match even. Mm. But that's sports. I mean, that's not necessarily anything particularly sinister, but that you could suddenly have the entire world focused on the coronavirus, which has never come close to the death toll of TB, cancer, murder, and a whole lot of other of the problems that we've got around the world. And when they keep telling you how many people have the case, most of whom are asymptomatic, the vast majority of whom, 99%, are going to recover. And then they look at the numbers of how many have died, which has been proven many times to have been a lie anyway, because people have often been put as died of corona when they died with corona, but they died of something else, heart attack, respiratory things, knocked over by a car, whatever, but they had the coronavirus. And this has been proven. There's a lot of financial incentive for hospitals and so on to put down that the person died of coronavirus, even though it's normally, as I said correctly, with. And our medical doctors said, not one single person in my hospital has died of the coronavirus. If any's died, they've died with it. And the reports and the statistics are lies. So, well, I wouldn't know, but I'm just quoting what some medical doctors have said. Mm. But basically, you've got to repeat radical revolutionary rhetoric or else. Anyone who disagrees with the radical revolutionary rhetoric, whatever that rhetoric may be at that moment, whether it's liberty, equality, fraternity, or death, whether it is 4 legs good, 2 legs bad, of Animal Farm, whatever it is that you've got to repeat, Black Lives Matter, you will be accused of being a far-right extremist if you say, no, I'm not going to say Caesar's Lord. I'm not going to repeat the mantra. And there's a selective blindness to the real racism. So, for example, imagine you can say, which I do, all whites are racist. Now, isn't that a racist generalization? Mm. Isn't that judgmental? Now, I thought racism and generalizations and judgmentalism's bad, but to say all whites are racist is not considered, which it obviously is judgmental. It is obviously racist. It is obviously inaccurate, because all you've got to do is prove one isn't, and you've disproved the whole statement. But the BBBEE racist quotas in the workplace and in sports teams, they don't recognize that as racial discrimination. Of course it's racial discrimination. It's racist to the core. Since when are we to judge people by the color of the skin instead of by the content of the character or their capabilities on the sports field, as the case may be? So what we've got is selective blindness, and you do not have the right to choose anything that the leftists disapprove of. So my body, my choice, they scream. But if you say, well, I don't choose to wear a mandatory mask, there's a lot of medical science out there that says it doesn't help, and in fact, it's quite bad. And then, no, but now you're guilty of a hate crime and a thought crime because you're not allowed to disagree with the narrative.
I feel we will go on for another hour about these, about the inconsistencies of the left. So let's try going to a positive. What is a biblical approach that we can use for this current situation? And are there resources that we can use to help strengthen us and prepare us for the debates that we're going to have with our potential family members or co-workers?
Yes. Look, communists are inoculated against logic. We're living in the most intolerant age, and we're seeing the worst racism in history. and hate speech is being propagated by those who claim to be against hate speech, and free speech is at risk by those who claim to be for freedom. So what we need to do is we need to go back to the Bible. Just take, for example, Romans 3. Now, let's see if this seems relevant to today. Romans 3. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues, they've practiced deceit. The poison of asps or snakes is under their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So that's from Romans 3, 13 to 18. So we need to recognize how revolutions work. We need to read or remember, if we've read before, George Orwell's Ominous Warnings in Animal Farm in 1984, and the writings of Alexander Solzhenitsyn.
Can we just go back to that? In 1948, he spoke about a reality that has been happening since 1984, and even before 1984. If that does not scream to you that this is a reality and that this is something that is just growing and growing and growing, and like you were giving the example about a kid, if a child can see that if I scream and throw a tantrum, I'm going to get my way, they're going to use that to their advantage more and more and more, and it is going to grow. And that is exactly what is happening in the liberal media, in the world today, and in the current trend of if you do not conform to them immediately, they're going to make your life a living hell continually, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And you cannot sit and say, oh, okay, well, I don't want to be controversial, so I just want to sit back and just do my own thing. You can't. If you sit back and watch, you will be forced into that reality.
Right. In fact, I remember long before you were born, your mom and I looking at some of these kids throwing a temper tantrum in the shop, and the mother just pandering to whatever they wanted. And we said, God help us when these kids grow up. Well, they have grown up. And now we see them in the streets. And this is the result of poor, permissive parenting. And it's not just the parents. When I grew up, we had discipline in the home, discipline in the schools, and then you got conscripted in the army, and you got even more discipline. Mm. But all of those have been taken away. Now there's no discipline in the average home. There's no discipline in the average church. There's no discipline in society. And so the end result is that you've got mob rule and law of the jungle. So to understand how revolutions work, there's one phenomenal book, Robespierre, Inside the French Revolution by Otto Scott. Now, I've summarized this in my presentation on understanding revolution and revolutionaries. So if you go on the reformationessay.org website, reformationessay.org, or frontlinemissionessay.org, you'll find articles, audio lectures, videos, PowerPoints on revolutions, French Revolution, Bolshevik Revolution, George Orwell's 1984, and a whole lot of others, and how to resist the revolution and resources to oppose revolution, and also how to deal with Marxist bullying tactics, because that's what we're talking about, Marxist bullying tactics. Here they're bullying you with words. And so it's so important that if we understand the tactics of guilt manipulation and indoctrination and gaslighting and Stockholm syndrome, I mean, many people may say, well, I don't understand those words. Well, there are explanations of that in these presentations.
Part two will be coming.
So we need to understand how they intimidate, bully, and manipulate the masses. Because once you understand tactics, it won't work. Because the moment people start this ranting and raving, and you just smile because you understand what's behind it, and you know that the issue is not the issue, the issue is the revolution. And at that point, you are empowered. So forewarned is forearmed. And so it's so important. Go onto the frontlinemissionessay.org website, get into our video, audio, or PowerPoint, whichever you prefer, or read the articles. And there's a whole lot of links, completely free. And once you understand this, I think you will be able to be part of the solution. Light a candle instead of cursing the darkness. Because the revolutionaries are not as numerous as they make out. As you said, the majority is still basically against us, but they've been intimidating to silence. And so I think the term is the silent majority needs to stand up. And so there's the verse in Psalm 94, verse 16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity?
Well, I hope that was quite a lot to swallow. We will most likely have a part two. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this has inspired you and that this has given you strength and confidence for the realities that we as conservative Christians need to face. Thank you and good night.